on Jordan, stormy banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
We're so glad you've decided to listen to our program today. Our intent is to inform you and to encourage you. This is Are You Listening with Jody Apple of International Gospel Hour. In a busy world with lots of distractions, we need to pay closer attention to God. Are you listening to God's Word today? Here's Jody.
With me, I am bound for the promised land.
Thank you, Jay, and greetings. We are glad that you have tuned in to our program, Are You Listening? We encourage you to open your Bible as we prepare to dig deeper into God's Word today. We continue our study of Paul's letter to the Galatian churches, a letter that addressed the following problem. Galatian Christians, like all who became Christians during the first century, they were baptized believers. They were clothed with Christ through their faith in Christ when they were baptized into Christ. That's the teaching of Galatians 3, verses 24 and following. But in spite of their redemption by the blood of Christ and their entrance into the body of Christ by their initial obedience to the gospel in baptism, Paul had to write to these Galatian churches in order to prove that the original and the singular gospel that they first heard and that they first followed stood in sharp contrast to the changed gospel that some in the Galatian churches were pushing. Paul's objective, and thus the main purpose of his letter, get Galatians to realize that they must return to and that they must remain faithful to that original gospel. God revealed the gospel exactly the way that he wanted it. When we humbly submit to God's good news, gospel directives, our souls are saved by the blood of Christ, and we are added to the body of Christ, thus prepared to serve the Christ. Any changes to this good news, saving grace of Christ, renders the gospel powerless to save. That was true even if those changes included relying on Old Testament circumcision and obedience to the law of Moses, the problems that actually plagued the Galatians. Paul's message, Galatian Christians, you must not change the gospel. Galatian Christians, you must not follow a changed gospel. That same message applies to all who would follow Christ. It applied 2,000 years ago, and it still applies today. No changed, no updated, no modified, no contemporary gospel can ever replace the original. At the end of our last broadcast, we were continuing our review of Galatians chapter 3. We will resume our study there in just a moment. We encourage you then to join us as we study and as we are blessed by God's Word today. A brief reminder, we air 6 programs in series each week. To hear or download all of our weekly programs, go to the main page of our website, internationalgospelhour.com. For questions or comments about today's lesson or any other biblical topic, or to follow us online, call us at 1-855-IGH-6988. That toll-free number is available every hour of the day and every day of the week. Message us using either the contact form at that same website, internationalgospelhour.com, or through Facebook at facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. Write us at International Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee 37334, and follow us at both facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and at twitter.com/Jody Apple. One more thing before we start. We would love to give you a free copy of the book, Victory in Jesus. To receive a print copy of the book, give us a call at 1-855-IGH-6988. Again, that's 1-855-IGH-6988. 6988. Simply leave us your name and mailing address, and we will get a copy out to you right away. If you would prefer to receive a digital copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, simply send an email to this address, free@ighradio.com. Once again, that's free@ighradio.com. Let's get back into a study of God's Word today. Here's how we ended our last program. We talked about two distinct roles in redemption, God's side and man's side, or the divine role and the human role. That there are two roles in redemption, one God's and one man's, makes some religious leaders uneasy. Why? From their perspective, to teach that both God and man contributed something to the redemptive process places man on par with God. That's an unfortunate, better, a mistaken understanding. Though we have explained this in past studies, it will be worth our time to explain this in more detail here before proceeding. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Without going into a complete study of the background and the specific context of this verse, let's keep it simple by noting some obvious truths in the text. First truth, God keeps us. That means that God literally guards us. Second truth, God keeps us by His power. Third truth, God keeps us by His power through faith. Fourth truth, God keeps us by His power through faith for salvation. And finally, the fifth truth from this verse, God keeps us by His power through faith for salvation that will be revealed in the last time. Among other things, this verse affirms that God plays a part in our redemption. He keeps us by His power, and that man plays a part in redemption. We are kept by God's power through faith. The power that keeps us, that's the God part of our redemption. The through faith element, that's the Abraham part of redemption. It's also the me part of redemption, the you part of redemption, the we or us part of redemption. Someone might object by saying, well, yes, God's power keeps us, but the words through faith, that's also a God thing. That's true, but only up to a point. It's true that God has arranged His redemptive plan so that faith has been, is now, and will always be an integral part of the process. So yes, it's definitely true that the words through faith could not have any human connection unless God ordained it to be so. No argument there. But to say that God originated and that God divinely decreed redemption to be by His power through faith does not exclude man's role in God's plan. Why do we say that? Consider this. Let's assume that this passage and every biblical passage that addresses redemption leaves absolutely no doubt that God does everything to save us from sin, and that man has been, is now, and will always be totally passive without any role whatsoever concerning salvation. Let's allow this assumption in order to make a point. If 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 teaches that God keeps us by His power and that God does so through faith that has no human connection whatsoever, then we make this text say biblical faith has always been something done for us and to us, and that it has nothing to do at all with our response to God's grace. Some Bible students are okay with that. They reason that God's sovereignty excludes man's contribution in any way in the redemptive plan. So, what's so bad about that? Here's what's so bad, better, what's mistaken about that idea. It makes every command of God meaningless. There are thousands of divine commands throughout God's Word. Why? Because God does everything and we do nothing? Hardly. God's commands, while not the foundation of redemption, are still redemption-related. That might sound like double talk or meaningless words or sophistry to you, so let's explain that thought. God's commands, obviously given by God, they are His commands after all, were given for a purpose, actually multiple purposes if we look closely. That purpose and those purposes was not and were not just to show that God could issue commands. God's commands, God's directives, or God's instructions were given in order to prepare and to qualify God's people according to God's will for God's pleasure that they might benefit. For example, God commanded Israel not to have any other gods, not to make images to those other gods, and not to take God's name in vain, and so forth. Those commands all center on God's singular existence and Israel's recognition of and respect of God's singular existence. Through these particular commands, God directed Israel in two broad ways. First, God told them what to think, God told them what to believe, and then second, God told them how to act consistent with their thoughts and their faith. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of God's Word. A quick reminder, for a free print copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, call 1-855-IGH-6988. Leave us your name and mailing address, and we will send one to you right away. To receive a digital copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, simply send us an email to free@ighradio.com.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope first that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.
With you till